Wow, really, it's just such a joy to be here. I bring greetings from Pastor Nolene. She loves you. Just says I must really, I can't give the kind of hugs that she gives, but she said I must try and just hug on you and love on you and just tell you she really misses you and our children and grandchildren and then the family, the spiritual family of God's Family Life Church, just extends their love and gratitude for the sisterhood or the brotherhood and the connection that we have as churches. And also for praying me through to come into your country, because I was scheduled to be here 2 months ago. And in preparation, I went right up to, for those of you who've been to South Africa, I live in a small town. Well, it's only 1 million people. Compared to Pensacola, it's a lot bigger. And made all my way up to Johannesburg, which is our international airport. Got to the boarding gates and Delta says to me, you can't travel because you got the B1, B2 visa, which is tourist and business visa. I said, but you took my money for my ticket. How come you didn't tell me in advance that I'm not permitted to travel? And I made all my way back. But in that one day of being disappointed and had to find accommodation in Johannesburg, God just did something so revolutionary for me. I got revived, energized. My faith got rebuilt up. In the space of disappointment, God did an amazing thing. Amen. And then I waited. And then on the 8th of November, the U.S. government opened travel back and forth from the African continent and other places. And then when I was here now, a few days ago, your government has just closed travel to Africa. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get home for Christmas, but I'm just taking it one step at a time and hoping that God will lead and everything will be well. So I've been here for a while. This is my fourth week in the United States. I started out, so I bring love from the Stronghold Church, Pastors Brent and Rochelle. And then I went over to Jubilee Marmel, Arkansas. And there, Pastor Marvin and Angie brings their love to you. And then I went up to Connecticut to Pastor Doug and, what's her name again? Keep forgetting Doug's wife's name. Elizabeth. Doug and Elizabeth send their love. And then I ended up at New England Prayer Center with Gina and Dan. And it's just been an amazing journey. But I wouldn't be anywhere. And not that those places were not significant. They were. But I believe my assignment for coming this season is to be here with you. I really mean that. And if you're a builder, you know the fivefold ministry. Obviously, there are different ways of describing the five natures. The apostle governs, the prophet gives guidance, the evangelist gathers, and the ring finger, the shepherd guards, the pastor guards the flock, and then the teacher grounds the flock. But coming in a role of governing, coming in a role of building together with you. That's on my heart this morning, to come alongside. And as Nehemiah reconstructed the wall, you know, there was so much opposition. There was accusation. There was so many thoughts that were sent over to try and discourage the rebuilding of the wall. The wall lay in ruins for 70 years. It was restored, rebuilt in 52 days. God can do amazing things. If He can change a nation in a day, if He can turn the heart of the king, God can restore. That which the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm has eaten, God is a restoring God. And I believe the whole world has been shaken. And the church, both in your nation and in my nation, has not been spared the shaking. There's been a shaking. In actual fact, the shaking has been so bad in my country, some churches haven't had church in 2 solid years. We've opened and closed on 6 occasions because the government shut the whole nation down. No gatherings were permitted. Some weekends, we were running 6 services because only 50 people were allowed to gather in the building. And you'd be amazed how God anoints you with fire, with power to preach 6 times with the same passion, intensity, and enthusiasm. And the Holy Ghost falls and touches and heals in all 6 services. When you get home, you flat like a pancake. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can ask or think of. He's an amazing God. He takes his super, puts it on our natural, so that supernatural can be ordinary. Amen. And so today, as I journey with you, I really believe that in our context, people were using the coronavirus as an excuse. They were already cold and they needed an excuse to take a vacation from God. I've seen in my context how they would not come to the household of faith, but they would go to a busy shopping mall or a place of entertainment where thousands are gathering, but make every excuse not to be in the house of God. Others have allowed fear, and fear is not just an emotion. 2 Timothy 1:7, you know the passage. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Others have allowed fear to grip their hearts and rob them of the opportunity to come into the household of faith. Many churches have been shaken, including ours. And it's in the season of shaking that God began to say to me, watch. Watch, be a watchman, because the devil, the deceiver, the calumniator, the destroyer is sowing discord, disharmony in churches so that he can dismantle what was built up over the many years. This soil, whenever I stand at this pulpit, the soil of this house is rich. There is a long history of so much that's gone into the foundations of this house. And I believe no devil, no demon, no accusation, nothing from the pit of hell will rob this house of making the acceleration that God has destined for it. But God works with human beings. You and I are the church. God does not dwell in the bricks and the mortar of this building. He dwells in human, the hearts of human beings. You and I are living stones. We have the anointing from the Holy Ghost living inside of us. Each of us have gifts from God. Each of us have abilities, insights, experiences. And together we make up the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how powerful I preach this morning. If I spend hours on my research, hours waiting upon God, if you are not here, who would the sermon go to? So as much as you may feel you need me or you need the leaders of this house, they need you. We need each other. There's no independence in the kingdom of God. We are interdependent. We are connected to one another. Therefore, we are here today to be a part of what God is doing here. Hallelujah. Say amen to Jesus. So God began to say to me, shift your mindset, Greg. Begin to take on the rebuilding paradigm. Take on the rebuilding paradigm, because this season God has leveled the playing fields. He's shaken all the weeds. He's shaken all the insecure ones, and he's beginning to say, who will build my church? Who will stand up with me and begin to rebuild the way he wants it to be done? Come on now, are there builders in the house? Are there movers and shakers in the house? Are there people in this house that are willing to draw a trowel in the one hand and a sword in another? Are there builders in the house? I can't hear you. Are there builders in this house? So the Lord said to me, look at the coronavirus from this mindset. What is the strategic opportunity to build in this season of opposition? What is the strategic platform God is giving to you in your family, in your business, in the church, in your relationships? Wherever there's a crisis, God always sees opportunity. I hear God saying to the house, Revelation 3:8, behold, I set before you an open door that no one can shut. Are you willing to walk through the door? Are you willing to get out of the boat? It's time to get out of your comfort zone. It's time to begin to take on that which the Lord has given to you. Your assignment awaits you. And so in Romans 8, 28, if God uses all things, do you believe that text? Do you believe the word of God is already anointed? Do you believe the power is in the seed? As I sow the seed, God begins to do amazing things inside of you as you begin to embrace and embody the seed of the word. The word of God is coming. Are you fertile soil this morning? And the Bible says, and we know that in all things, say all things. Come on, do you mean it? In all things. That means when there's tension in a church. That means when there's tension in a home. That means when a business is going through a challenge. That means when relationships are gone sour. That when children are rebellious in a home. When marriages are challenged from every angle. In all things. My God is all sufficient God. He was before all things. All things are made by him, and in him all things hold together. He is the supremacy. So if I believe in him, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Do you believe in all things? So the crisis you've had here as a church is nothing for God. Is it a real crisis? Yes, it is. Is a crisis back at home that we've experienced a real one? But God, my God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore the same. He's looking for builders. Are you willing to build? And so I want to say to you today, God said to me, Greg, how are you building? In the season of challenge, in the season of shaking, how are you? We lost 60% of our income. Hey, how are you building, Greg? In the light of this portion of scripture, I've been seriously challenged, and I bring that challenge to you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. By the grace of God, not by my own doing, the apostle is saying, not by my expertise, experience, knowledge, education. No, by the grace of God, by the unmerited, undeserving favor of God, that which I did not deserve, the cross and its sufficiency. By the grace of God, he says, God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise master builder. Are you and I wise master builders? How we build our family, our businesses, our communities, the churches God gives us to steward. How do we build our relationships? How do we build our families? How do we build our marriages? Are we wise master builders? And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. I began to scrutinize what kind of messages I'm preaching. God, how am I dissecting the word of truth? God, am I living that out which I preach? God, am I studying so that I can know you more? Or am I studying to become more like you? God, how am I ministering? For the sake of touching people or for the sake of being a vessel in the palm of your hand? God, how am I building? Because you have to build with care. My God is a God of the specifics. On three occasions in the Bible, in Exodus, we see again in Acts and in Hebrews, God took the time to show Moses how to construct the tabernacle. He did it according to the pattern on the mountain. If you don't get a revelation of how you must build your relationships, your marriage, how you must build a church, how you must build your business, how you must build your community, you got to get the pattern from the mountain. You got to go to God, not by Facebook, not copy paste. You got to hear for yourself. You can't rely on secondary revelation. You got to go to the mountain yourself. There is a door. The door is Jesus. We are drawing nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Everyone can enter in. Everyone can meet with the Lord. How are we building? Are we builders? For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ. Come on, like you mean it, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Yo. God tests everything. He tests the motives of our hearts. He tests what's the agenda with what we're doing and why we're doing it. He tests how we manage the leadership responsibility he gives to us. He tests the stewardship of our family. He tests the stewardship of our money. He tests everything that we have. He tests the gifts and the abilities and the anointing is given to us. How are we building with what he has given to us? Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Hey, I know what it is to be in the fire. But you know what? I don't know what it is like to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where the fire was 7 times hotter and the fourth man was in the fire with them. But I know what it means when it is revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. This text is not only referring to churches, families, business, careers, organizations, relationships. You name the list, it goes on. Everything we are building. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're all at open face beholding in a glass the glory of God, are being transformed from glory to glory. We're all building. Every one of us a building. I would to God that one day when my time comes to an end, I would die empty. I would die having built that which the Father wanted me to build. I would to God that I can call all those around me that are friends and family, and just like Jacob, I'd be able to prophesy all of them and over all of them and give them my parting wishes. And I would to God I could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the cause. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. I want to die empty. If you don't build with the leaders of the house, you'll die full of yourself. You got to die empty. You got to put your gifts, your strengths, your abilities, your money, your passion, even your commitment. That's how you build. If what is seen build survives, oh Jesus. If what has been built survives, that means it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. Accusations. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. He takes away your money. He takes away your resource. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. He gives you sickness, because sickness is not of God. It doesn't matter what the devil gives to you or throws at you. It's got to survive. If it's built on the rock, Christ Jesus, it's got to survive. So go back and ask her, what did you build it on? How did you build? You see, God is going to test all of us. I can preach up a storm and work up a sweat the way I am this morning, but if I don't build with the right motives, with the right values, because my gift can be functioning now, and you are moved by the gift and the charisma and the anointing, but a one-winged bird cannot fly. You can use all the gifts in the world, but if you don't have character, you're not a balanced bird. You're not building to last. How are you building? What are you building on? Is it an emotion? What are you building on today? You rebuke a brother, sister, they leave the church. I come from a generation where you get rebuked. If you're a soldier, if you are a warrior, you take the rebuke, because a rebuke is better than secret love. What are we building? You know, I've been interviewing people in my time here. I run a page called Greg Smurden Consulting, which is trying to help emerging entrepreneurs. And I was, and when God is moving on somebody or someone or a ministry or a business, I want to know how it's working. Because I want to partner with God. I don't want to have my own fire. God, come and bless my fire. Work up a sweat, fast and pray. God's not in the fire, and I'm forcing his hand on the fire. I want to know where he's working and join in with him. And so I interviewed this one gentleman in the Tulsa area. He has a thriving church. And I said to him, tell me about the move of God in regard to the church. He said, there are many new churches emerging, no new Christians being added to the kingdom. I said, oh, that is an amazing revelation. Jesus came to seek and save lost people. Jesus came for the broken, the battered, and the bruised. Jesus came so that when you open your mouth, there's life in your mouth. It can change the destiny of another human being. How are you building when you're afraid to share what this great God has done in your experience? You don't apologize too much for being a Christian in this nation. You need to stand bold. You need to stand strong. You need to take the Bible and preach the Bible and maybe even get persecuted for it. You know why? The church will grow in persecution. Where there is tension, God calls us to get into neology and begin to trust Him for great things to happen. How are you building this morning? How am I building? How are we building? How is the church worldwide building? If what has been built survives, the builder will receive the reward. Oh my God. Oh Jesus, help me to build God's way. Not on emotion, but on the word. To build God's way. Not on manipulation, but by the leading of the Holy Ghost. To build on God's way. Not by control and dictatorship, by servant leadership. To build God's way, by good stewardship of my money, my resources, my time, my talent, my treasure, my insights. How do I need to build God's way? With solid relationships and not be money driven or not be platform driven. How do I build? I build with authenticity, with originality. I don't have to copy what others are doing. Social media, a blessing but a curse. We measure who we are by what we see others do, but not my Jesus. He sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There'll never be another you. Your gifting is unique. The anointing on your life is unique. You don't have to build by the opinions of others. You don't have to build by the thoughts of others. You build according to He called you to be. How are you building? Are you building your own way or God's way? God is calling you. Can you hear the clarion call? Coming up a bit higher. Can you hear the clarion call? Come out of mediocrity. Can you hear the clarion call? Those gifts have been buried too long. Today, God's coming with a fork. He's coming with a spade. He's going to unearth those treasures and bring them to the fore. You can't build without the tools He's given you. This verse is so powerful. Verse 15 says, if it is burned up, it means some people's works will burn up when opposition comes, when tension comes. You know, Jesus is going to the cross. The crowds get less when opposition comes, when tough times come. How you would have said the anointed has only got a handful around him. Today we measure anointing by the crowds. Easy to build a church. Give me money, I'll build a mega church in your country. I'll have an amazing building. I will hire the best musicians and singers. I'll put the best technology in the house. I'll give you a lot of food when you come. I'll give you some food stamps or hampers. And I'll have a mega house. How are you building? Is the anointing of the Holy Ghost priority? Is intimacy a connection? Is the Word of God the highest court of appeal in all your decision making? How are you building, Jubilee? We build by the opinions of others. We say, who's in the majority? In the kingdom, you can be one and in the majority. In a kingdom, one of us can put 1,000 to flight. Two of us can send a legion fleeing. It's not in the number. It's not in how many views. It's not in how many likes. Is God in it?
It can be so beautifully modeled, you'll think God is in it. Where's the level of discernment? Where is the thinking from the spirit, not from the head? Where's the, come on, ladies, stop falling for the same old trick. He's giving you those same stupid tunes, and you're falling again and again and again. Come on, man of God. It's time you can see the Jezebel coming your way. Come on, child of God. You can see Absalom coming from a distance. You cannot see him. You cannot know him unless the Holy Ghost is functioning in you and through you. It's time to get back to building God's way. Say God's way.
How are you building? So God began to tell me, if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Oh, the grace of God. Hey, I took great consolation in that one. God, even this thing that I'm building, if it disappears overnight and it's like it never ever existed, I will be saved. Hallelujah. That is the key today. Even though we don't want only to be saved, we want that which we've imagined. You put your life's energy, you muster every ounce on your being into a cause, and it just disappears like building on the sand. One of the key pointers, God began to say to me, that tells a church is spiritually healthy. How will I know? Ooh, I started to research. I got a bit scared. My heart this morning, it's if I can just put one brick on your wall. All this energy and all the screaming and shouting and spitting could only put one brick on the wall. I've done my job by being here because God is about building. You know how you build the church? One life at a time. One life at a time. All you need to do is reach one person. The culture of, you know, when you're touched by God, I'm sure you all watch The Chosen. I like the way they depict the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. How all the shame of coming in the middle of the day to get the water, hiding from everybody in plain sight. You know, you can hide in plain sight. Many are in the church, but they're hiding. We haven't shared your faith. You're taking your talent, you're putting it under a bushel. I don't even want to go and tell you what happened with the guy who hid his talent. You know, the words are not choice words. They're brash, they're harsh. It's like, you wicked servant. How can you call me wicked, God? I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing money from my workspace. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a bigot. I'm not this and that and the other. No, just by keeping to yourself, this treasure is found in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not a man. You have this treasure inside of you today. I believe God is saying, take up your sword, pull it out of the sheath. It's rusted in the sheath. It's time to pull out your sword. And the Lord said to me, number one, make sure, but before I go there, I remember this so clearly. I had this revelation when I was in your country. It was 1992, and I was invited with another gentleman. He completed his studies at Moody Bible Institute, and he was giving oversight to a few churches, and we were teaching on praise and worship. That came to an end, and I said to him, I have a fascination for tall buildings. Could you take me to the Sears Tower in Chicago? He said, okay. We only had one day of sightseeing, and the next day we were flying out. I remember it was a Monday. I was excited just to be able to get to the looking deck and see the whole of Chicago, but understand the construction of this amazing building. As we got to the bottom of the building, I looked up, 110 stories high. The top of the building was in the clouds. It was even more exciting. Then the wind, Chicago is a windy city, the wind started to blow, and there was a sign, sorry, we're not going up to the looking deck today. Hopes were dashed. But as I was standing there looking up, the Lord said to me, how deep is this foundation? Well, I turned to the gentleman that was with me. I said, do you know how deep is this foundation? He says, I have no idea. But I heard, he said, they spend as much time on the bottom of the building as the top. And the Lord said to me, your height is directly proportional to your foundation. How deep is your foundation, Greg? You see, when you build a house on the Word of God, God gives a set couple of vision. In this case now, you got Tim and you got Angie. Len and Pam did an amazing job of laying the foundation. Now, you build together with a team, a set couple. God brings leaders around that couple, and that couple works together as a team, but they need everyone in the house to build together with them. You build on the vision comes from God, therefore you hone in, you tap in, the vision is bigger, big enough for everyone to dream within the dream. No one will get stifled in the vision. When a vision comes from God, it's big enough for everyone to dream within it. I say to every young man, if you don't have a big enough vision, you'll be threatened by your wife. Dream big, young man. Get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can get a vision from God. So you align with the vision of the house and you begin to build. The first way you build is you got to be born again, the Lord said. I said, what? How, God? Yeah, you must be born again. There are many in the household of faith not born again. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you shall be born again. John 3:3, unless a man be born again, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you born again? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? I'm not talking about being born again on a Sunday where you lift up holy hands, but you live another life all week long. I'm talking about being born again in the dark, being born again on a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm talking about being born again when someone's watching, being born again when no one's watching. Are you born again? Is Jesus your Savior and your Lord, or did you just grow up in the church? Have you ever said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior? Point number one, you got to be born again. And the Lord said to me, you got to receive the full counsel of God's word to be born again. The reason why sometimes a church goes through a shaking and people disappear, they not born again. They align themselves with a man. They align themselves with a church name. They don't align themselves with God. If you're born again, who is your Lord? Who died for you? Who paid the price for your sin? You got to be born again. How are we building? Today people can just woo people from one church by another by making them an offer. I say, shame on you. Don't you know that God knows the boundaries and times? He sets people in places. Don't you know God knows the details of every man? You don't just flip around one church to another, a rolling stone gathering no moss. When times get tough, yeah, and the fire begins to come up, you run away where you can get motivational messages. I don't know that thing in the kingdom. I know those that are in the kingdom, they serve a living God. They serve Jesus as their Lord. Have you been saved? Come on, Pastor Greg, you're spending so much time on this. This is elementary. Yes, it is, but it's critical. If you don't, we can go to the second point, but are you really born again? If you're born again, why? When there's a shaking in a church, you leave the church. Why? When you argue with another member in the household of faith, you leave the place and you go to another place. Why? When it's not going your way, you want to hit the highway. Are you born again? Well, when Peter preaches in Acts 2 verse 36, he's calling people deep to come out. Therefore, he says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
To many, he's a Messiah. He's the Savior. He rescued you from a broken marriage. He rescued you from drug addiction. He rescued you from loneliness. He rescued you from a poor self-image. He rescued you because you had no money. He rescued you because your child was rebellious. He rescued you because you felt if you go to a church, there you'll be able to get the support that you need. He's only your Savior. God's not happy to be only your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. Therefore, he says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all those who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call. 3,000 were added that day. Is he Lord? Get out of the driver's seat. Stop being the boss. He is Lord. If he's Lord, if he cannot be Lord of all, he cannot be Lord at all. You're choosing your own life's partner and you ask him to come bless a marriage you was never a part of. You're choosing your own job instead of allowing him. You're choosing another promotion because you're chasing money and he hasn't given you direction to go and choose that place. You're moving from one place to another. You're a rolling stone because you're your own boss. You're driving your own car. Get out of the driver's seat. It's time he become Lord. Get into the passenger seat today. God began to talk to me. How are you building, Greg? Are you building it born again people or people who like to feel nice on a Sunday? They come for another fix, a fix of the Holy Spirit. They come and they get touched. They fall down. They don't change. They come back the next week for another fix. When the altar call is made, they run up here. They weep snot and trana. That's tears and snot, if I can put it crudely. And then go back and come again week after week after week. No change. Is he Lord? He cannot be Lord at all unless he's Lord of all. I hear God calling many people into lordship today. I hear many people needing to have to put aside your paradigm. You know, with your free thinking country, you got some issues. We long to be like you. Free world. Some of you, you want to think beyond the Bible. Some of you want to rewrite your own text because of the freedom to think. Now, should you leave your brain at the entrance of the church? No, ma'am, no, sir. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. God wants you to have the mind of Christ. Whatsoever things are pure, good, godly, think on those things. God wants you to have his mindset. Do not be conformed, Romans 12, verse 2, to the image of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But he wants all your opinions. For example, there's no question about what's godly sexuality? It's one man and it's one woman according to the Bible. Why must there be a debate? God's the author of life. He put that seed inside of a woman. How can I remove it on the basis that I say it's not a living human being? God is the author of life. Who gave man the right to decide whether you can take a life or not? God says relationships in the New Testament should be one wife and one man. How can it be a threesome or a foursome or a fivesome? How come I see the Bible say that we should all come together as a gathering of believers? Everyone wants their own ministry. You know, in this place, there's too many orphans. No fathers, or few fathers. Everyone wants their own ministry. Independently of the local church. When I read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, the church is founded on the revelation of the apostles, God's blueprint, the prophets. This house is a prophetic house. If I were to ask you, go take your file of prophecies off the shelf, some of you will need a wheelbarrow to come here with those prophecies. How many is given to you over the years? But you know what? You keep explaining the prophetic word away because it's a condition. You want the blessing without the condition. You don't want the process. You want it now. Just like everything is is instant oats, instant food, instant everything. You don't cook anymore. You want it now. Faster computers, faster this. You just buy an iPhone. You got to upgrade. Otherwise, you can't use the new apps. We want it now. Doesn't always work like that in the kingdom. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Sometimes you got to wait, actively waiting, anticipating, trusting. Hey, I preached the word, yeah. God is about to explode this church. I preach it again. God had to shake for there to be a growth. And now those that are left will say, I own this place. This is my house. This is where you planted me, God. Now I'm ready to build. How are you building? Woo! Can I have a keyboardist? I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost now. Number two, God said to me, they must be built on a solid biblical foundation. Their decision making, the management of conflict, the processing of difficulty, the application of counseling must be different. Hey, if the Bible can't counsel you, what do you think I'm going to do? My blueprint, my manual to counsel you is the Bible. If you can't get it from the Bible and I have to put a band-aid on every little thing that happens to you and you can't go to the Word, thy Word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist says, that I may not sin against you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The God of the Lord is calling you to be counseled by the Word. Not even T.D. Jakes and Stephen Furtick and all those guys can do it better than my Bible, than my Word. The Word of God, it is able to counsel you. You'll minimize the work of the pastor. He'll be able to go to the mountain to come with a fresh word. But if every day he's putting in a band-aid, Kevin Leal says a pamper Peter Pan pastor. That's what many people want today. So rectify faulty foundations. You want to build properly? Matthew 7:26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. It tells me we're all going to face storms, brothers. Sisters, we're all going to face difficulty. The difference with us is we are wired to win. The difference with us, we are bold to pursue. The difference with us, we take on hardship as good soldiers. The difference with us, we don't look at other people's lives and measure who we are by them. We measure ourselves by the mirror of the Word. I feel God sanctifying in the house, cutting off those appendages that have held you back. I feel God burning up the dross, those things that have been there for far too long, those faulty foundations. You know, that's why I always say, when a person comes from another church, you must stand outside in the car park and do this. Shake off all that. In Zulu we say, amanyaganyaga. That means all the stuff that you came in from another house, if it is not biblical, shake it off outside. So when you come into the house, your roots are ready to absorb the DNA of this house. Then you're not looking over the hill. I wonder, what are they singing there? I wonder, what are they preaching there? I wonder, how is God moving over there? No, you settled. Planted in the house of the Lord. And you flourish. You bloom where you planted. You know your metron. Your place of cleaning. You know it. You're in the slipstream of God. Where God is working, you with Him. You celebrate the other people's growth in the house. When God is moving with someone else, you make a big deal because it's a culture of honor. you building. I feel God doing something right now. Because for too long, some have been like the Hebrew writers writes in Hebrews 5. First, they began to drift when the coronavirus came. Then they began to doubt because they were no longer in the presence of God. Do not forsake the gathering, the coming together of the saints. So they doubted, and then they began to drift, and they began to deny the word of God. I don't have to tithe. I'm not going to church. The word of God says you must decide in your heart what you want to give. Give willingly, generously, freely. Not without compulsion. Hebrews, the Hebrew writer had to write in Hebrews 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this. But it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Do you know, I didn't come with anything phenomenally new to you today. That's teaching the elementary principles, isn't it? But when they come with power, when they come with the anointing, they break the yoke. They give a sense of direction. They give a sense of purpose. When we're preaching at the simplicity of the gospel with power, it revolutionizes the human being. Changing the lost paradigms to a godly paradigm. Reigniting that flame that's gone out. Where you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. When you preach elementary principles with the authority of God, it breaks that addiction of pornography that you have. Silently, nobody knows. You break that thing when you pretend that He's Lord, but you are your own boss. It gets broken immediately. When you pretend like you love your wife in the company of everyone else, but at home you don't love on her. When you pretend like you're submissive at home, but you bully him at home, God begins to break that. When you come in the house of God, you pretend like you're giving all the time. You're just hoeing him. That's an Afrikaans word. It means you're just throwing him crumbs. No, you come prepared to give. You're deciding you're at home. You see, you got to be born again. Number two, you got to be built on a solid foundation. When you're built on a solid foundation, you choose to forgive. I was telling somebody the other day, there are some non-negotiables. Racism is a non-negotiable. There's no room for racism in the kingdom. We shouldn't be talking black and white because there's only one culture I know. It's a kingdom culture. For too long we're trying to please one another. It will never get right in the earthly world. You want me? In other words, look at me. Ugogo wami, my grandmother, umZulu, she's a Zulu person. Ubabamkulu, my grandfather, umhlophe, he's white. Upumapesha is Scotland, he comes from Scotland. So I'm a hybrid. And you know what? Go check your ancestry. All of you, yeah, are hybrids. There's not one of you that's pure, whatever you think you are. I only know the way you become pure. When you come to the cross and they say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Change me. When you're born again, you have a new bloodline. Do you know who you are? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know who you are? Before the foundations of the earth was laid, He knew you. Do you know who you are? Oh, you come from the Holy One. You from above. You're not white. You're not black. You're not whatever race group is here. You're not Mexican or Latino. You are a child of God. You belong to the kingdom. So then, let's behave like we belong to the kingdom. Don't look at me by the stand of my hair, by the shape of my body. Don't look at me by how much money I have in the bank. Don't look at me by where I stay, what kind of car I drive. Look at me as washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. There's only one culture. You can't build unless you come to that culture. This house will begin to explode when people come in and say, hey, you look so different, but you look the same. Why? When I look at you, I see love. When I look at you, I see love. When I look at you, I see love. Doesn't matter what color you are. You carry the DNA of love. When I look at you, I see forgiveness. When I look at you, I see forgiveness. When I look at you, I see forgiveness. You carry the same DNA. It doesn't matter what you look like. When I look at you, you speak the word of God. When I look at you, you speak the word of God. When I look at you, you speak the word of God. We only have one constitution, the Bible. All men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. If you live by that, you are a kingdom child. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh, Shakalaban. I had 7 points. I only preached on 2 today. And I think that's okay. Because I believe there will need to be an activation of the word. So now we're opening the altar. It's a different kind of altar call. It's an altar call to come and build. When Nehemiah got on his horse and he began to ride around Jerusalem, he started to observe. He started to analyze the burned gates and the broken walls. Then he called the elders and he said what the Lord had told him to do. And then they made a bold statement. Let us rise up and build. Walking around these walls. I'm ready to build, Pastor Tim and Angie. I'm ready. From now onwards, I'm looking resolutely at Jesus through the vision of the house. Now, I got my muffs on. I'm no longer a garbage can to receive words that are contrary to the will and the vision of the house. Now I put my blinkers on, that I start to read the things that speak life, that speak hope, and that speak destiny. I'm no longer entertaining anything contrary to the vision of the house. Build is say. You know, I was at the prayer center and the Lord gave me a word for a lady. I had no idea. She's like 82 years old, sitting at the back. And this was a word. The Lord said, I see you. I see how every day you on your knees and you pray for the nation and break things down. And every morning when you get up, that which you prayed about and written down, you see in the newspaper because you connected to me. She just started to weep. You see, in the kingdom, I made this mistake many times. Sometimes those that articulate, those that express themselves well, those that have a knowledge of the Bible, you think they are the builders. I know sometimes, oh my goodness, the pensioners in the house give a little bit of money, but just constantly helping us build. Other people may earn huge amounts of money, they don't tithe. Yeah, it's the pensioner just building with us, one life at a time. Are you ready to rebuild? If you are, I'm going to ask you to come, but it must be a calculated decision. It mustn't be in the moment. It mustn't be because of the atmosphere. It must be because you decided in your heart, it's time to build. I want you to come. I'm going to pray over you today that the anointing to rebuild will begin to come over you. Can we sing this chorus while the people are making their minds up to come? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.